The Trump administration's funding freeze and budget cuts have severely impacted California's North Coast, affecting education, healthcare, childcare, senior services, and emergency response. These cuts, part of a broader effort to reduce government spending, has left local governments and organizations unable to access critical federal funds, causing layoffs and service reductions. Those injured have filed lawsuits claiming the freeze breaches funding agreements and unfairly impacts vulnerable communities. Some courts have temporarily restored funding, but the long-term outcome is uncertain. Local leaders and residents say they are worried about the region's financial stability. At a recent roundtable hosted by Congressman Jared Huffman, local leaders detailed the devastating consequences these cuts are having on their communities. Huffman has also launched a website where constituents can report how the funding freezes have impacted them.
It's been really dizzying. I mean, just on the first day, on Inauguration Day, we saw 26 executive orders. We have seen 40 more signed since then. We have never seen anything like it, and we are still scrambling to understand the scope and the legality and the implications of all of these different orders.
The executive orders signed by President Trump aim to halt federal funding for programs involving diversity, equity, and inclusion, as well as anything related to climate change or the, quote, Green New Deal. This has sent shockwaves through rural communities in Huffman's district, which rely heavily on these federal dollars. Education leaders warned that school funding shortfalls could leave vulnerable students without critical resources. Michael Davies Hughes, superintendent of the Humboldt County Office of Education, highlighted the potential loss of Title I funding, stating,
"If we had this funding freeze or cuts or delays in funding, and unfortunately, as is often the case, this negative effect would be disproportionately felt by students who are already at a disadvantage. So we're talking about our students in Humboldt County that are living in poverty. And if you think if there are impacts to Title I, that would have a devastating effect on our most vulnerable students in the county."
Many of these students come from low-income families and rely on school programs for meals, transportation, and additional academic support. Jeff Harris from Del Norte County Unified School District echoed these concerns, adding,
"Every dollar that goes away because of a lack of federal funding is a dollar that comes out locally, and we just can't sustain that."
Rural districts like those in Del Norte and Humboldt serve students in remote areas where resources are already limited, making these cuts particularly harmful. Fabio Robles from Trinity County Office of Education highlighted the unique challenges facing his county, which is primarily composed of federal forest lands.
You know, while we make the most of the funding we do get, we're also the 58th out of 58 worst county in the state of California. So we depend heavily on federal funds. Right now, as a county outside of the Forest Reserve, which you're very much aware of, that's $1.57 million to Trinity County schools. And then another $1.5 million in the other federal programs that have been talked about.
Jamie Green from the Trinity Alps School District echoed these concerns, stating that the loss of secure rural schools funding alone would be devastating.
"That will literally take the wheels off our buses in our district. So we will lose $600,000 and have 5 to 6 layoffs that we'll have to do in March. It's 23% of our county road department budget, just secure rural schools. So they're concerned about that."
The program, established to offset the decline in timber revenues from federal lands, is crucial for rural areas like theirs. Without it, schools and vital local services such as road maintenance face significant financial strain, affecting both education and community infrastructure. The potential cuts to mental health funding are also a major worry for the region. Green explained,
"We got a mental health grant that we wrote for Siskiyou, Modoc, and Trinity counties. If that grant gets cut, that's going to put us right back to everything being telehealth."
Healthcare and family services are also at risk. Marianne Hansen from First Five Humboldt emphasized the immediate threat to early childhood programs, warning,
Humboldt County has the highest infant mortality rate in California, according to the Strong Start Index. The rate is especially high among Indigenous babies. Our program is designed to address that disparity and increase infant health by providing home visits to newborns with parent education and crisis supports. And then the Pathways to Resilience part of the program continues those visits to babies whose parents have a history of substance use disorder, helping them get treatment, parent education, and resources. If that program were frozen, several local clinics would be impacted, including United Indian Health Services, Kamau Medical Center, Redwoods Rural Health, the clinics that are serving the most rural communities in our area and whose clients experience the greatest health disparities. Families would lose access to those supports during the most vulnerable time of their babies' lives, and funding for local jobs at those clinics would be lost.
These clinics, according to Hansen, provide essential prenatal and pediatric care to families who may not have access to alternative health care options, including Indigenous communities and low-income residents. Child care providers are bracing for severe impacts as well. Carrie Venegas from Changing Tides stated,
okay. We're talking about some of our most vulnerable kids. Just in Humboldt County alone, there was over $8.3 million that went out in child care. So now we're also talking about child care businesses. We're talking about a large number of small business owners. We're talking about women operated and owned businesses. We're talking about a majority of professional child care providers within centers and center base. Our Head Start programs are definitely in the crosshairs, despite what's being said.
Many working families depend on subsidized child care programs to remain employed. And without these services, parents may be forced to leave their jobs or seek alternative, potentially lower quality care arrangements. Senior services are facing existential threats, with some organizations at risk of complete shutdown. Maggie Kraft from Area 1 Agency on Aging issued a dire warning.
I mean, if this is resolved badly, then we'll all be gone. If this is resolved after April, we just won't be here.
Thousands of seniors in Humboldt and Del Norte counties depend on the agency for in-home support services, meal deliveries, and transportation assistance, all of which could disappear if funding is not restored. One of the most immediate dangers posed by the funding freeze is to emergency services. Shelter Cove Fire Chief Nick Pape described the halt of a $6.2 million Shelter Cove Community Wildfire Defense Grant.
Yeah, so 2022, the fire department and the RID joined together to put in a application for the 2022 wildfire community wildfire defense grant, and that was originally hosted through USDA and then sent to U.S. Forest Service Region 5 to administer. We heard around about the spring of 2023 that we were successful, and we were awarded $6,222,000. Dollars to implement our project, and that project was to treat every home in Shelter Cove and about 90% of the vacant lots, and then an additional 1,200 acres of greenbelt that's within the community. So we were extremely excited, as one would think, and it was a game changer for Shelter Cove, and it still has the potential to be a huge victory for our community. A lot of people have heard some of the things that are going on at the federal government level, and it finally kind of trickled down to our area, specifically with our project. Again, this was a 2022 grant that we received that's good for 6 years, and our implementation plan goes through those full 6 years. Currently, we are in the third year, and we were just ramping up on it and had four local contractors on contract to start the treatment, and fortunately, we had a request for $320,000 reimbursement denied on February 3rd, with just a basic email that said all funds are held indefinitely due to the government audit or, you know, fiscal responsibility investigation, whatever you want to call it. We didn't get much information about why the funding was held up, but it's held up, and we're unable to get reimbursed for the money that we've already spent to date. The RID fire department, we're on the hook for about $120,000 out of that $320,000 contract, but we still have over $5 million left on the grant. So, you know, unfortunately, we're not completely sure what's going to happen with that money.
Chief Pape wrote in a letter to the community, quote, "Wildfires don't care about political agendas or who you voted for. They only require the right conditions, weather, fuel, and topography." Additionally, Pape stated, "Shelter Cove has all the ingredients for a fast-moving, destructive fire." Many Shelter Cove residents are retirees or individuals living in isolated areas, making evacuation during a fire even more challenging. The freeze is also affecting employment opportunities.
I would love to keep the work going, but if we extend ourselves too much and take on too much more of this debt, the fire department and the resort improvement district don't have the funds set aside to cover that. So that's why we ultimately made the tough decision to put a work stop order on our contractors. I mean, that's one of the really big things as well that a lot of people aren't thinking about is that is direct funds out of their family's pockets. I know a lot of them were local businessmen that had just started to increase their grow their businesses to keep up with some of these larger contracts that tie into the grants that we were awarded. And I feel really bad for those local businessmen that either are going to get delayed. I know some of them even took out loans to purchase more equipment for these projects.
Additionally, a local resident who had applied for a director position at a regional arts and culture organization shared their experience of having a scheduled interview canceled at the last minute. Quote, "The representative explained they were nervous about their funding streams continuing after one of the executive orders signed by the president would cease support for the arts, libraries, and museums. The organization has decided not to hire an employee at this time," end quote. The resident expressed frustration, noting that the job market now looks bleaker than ever. Supporters of the funding freeze, however, argue that the cuts are necessary to curb government spending and refocus federal resources on national priorities. President Trump has emphasized that the freeze is essential for reducing wasteful spending and ensuring taxpayer dollars are used effectively. At a finance conference in Miami, Trump stated that the United States is now, quote, "prepared for business," end quote, and that halting excessive government expenditures is a crucial step in stabilizing the economy. Legal battles continue to unfold as multiple lawsuits challenge the legality of the freeze. A federal judge recently issued a temporary injunction against halting certain grant payments, arguing that the administration lacks the authority to unilaterally suspend funding agreements. However, the administration maintains that contractual provisions permit such actions. Despite some court rulings temporarily reinstating funds, it remains uncertain whether and when these funds will be fully released and if they will arrive in time to prevent the collapse of what many see as critical services. To help document the local impacts, Congressman Huffman has set up a website where constituents can report how the funding freezes have affected them. Visit kmud.org for that link. Reporting from the KMUD studio in Redway, I'm Lisa Music.